This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Conversation is flowing across the land over what happened in Singapore, the summit between Kim Jong-un and our president, President Trump. One thing's for sure, it is one of the most talked about events in the last few days. What will happen in the future? Well, we really don't know. We do know that the president's lawyers have been talking, let's put it that way. And what does that mean? It just means that they're trying to figure out a few things that could happen with the denuclearization of North Korea, if in fact it happens, because there is no timetable now. But I do believe there's going to be another meeting. Another meeting. I really think there will be. So when the lawyers are brushing over this, they're also really focusing on what's going on with Robert Mueller and the Russians and interference into the elections and all of that. And there's still nothing that has come out of it. There's nothing that has nailed the press. There's other people that are falling like dominoes. But the president's legal team is plotting the next move following the North Korean summit. And while there are lots of speculating kinds of convos on what happens with Kim Jong-un, there are just as many about Robert Mueller and his willingness to answer what's going to happen moving forward with this Russia investigation. And will the press answer questions is something the president's legal team is trying to figure out as they sit down to game out the next major move in anticipation of a meeting with the special counsel maybe later this week or next week. Rudy Giuliani told CNN, we want to close this deal as much as we can, and we want to see what he thinks, the president. It's important because we really haven't had a chance to have a relaxed conversation with him in a few weeks. If the president refuses an interview with Mueller's office, prosecutors could open a grand jury to subpoena him to testify under oath. And that means it could drag on 9 to 15 months. Before, we've heard that Mueller told Trump's lawyers he believes he cannot indict a sitting president. I just don't see, and it's like we're going over mowed grass. I mean, it is like that, isn't it? And maybe there's a better analogy over there, but it sure seems that way. It really does. It seems like we just keep going over the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Meanwhile, celebrations did happen on the East and the West Coast. Woohoo! Two sports teams. The Capitals, for the first time in their history, won a Stanley Cup. Tons of people came out to see them. There's still people talking about that. That happened on Tuesday. They're still cleaning up the confetti. Same thing in Oakland. They're still cleaning up the confetti. And it's funny, they both were at 11 in the morning in their respective time zones. So 11 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific. Pacific. This is a big one. And when I say this is a big one, what am I talking about? I am talking about, on a world stage, the fact that you have the U.S., Mexico, and Canada doing something together is pretty exciting. What is it? They're not breaking bread. They're not lifting tariffs. They're talking about the 2026 World Cup. North America gets the World Cup. The majority of the matches will actually be played in the United States, but there's still some that will be played in Mexico and in Canada. So that's huge. 2026 is a ways off, however. The reason North America was an easy choice is because already built in, there are some very big facilities. And it doesn't mean that a lot will have to be created infrastructure-wise. While I'm talking about the significance of North Korea, the Russian investigation, and the World Cup, the true meaning of what's the buzz in your backyard and mine was really over a furry creature. When I first woke up, I got my first tweet about this, then another, then another. Then I got lots of photographs. Millions in the U.S. were paying attention to a small raccoon who first captured the attention of Minnesota, then the world. He made it to the roof. I saw a tweet that said, the greatest story ever told, he made it. 2:30 a.m. local time, there was kind of a weird, grainy, wild feed, a live one from St. Paul, showing a little figure scurrying up and onto the top of a 25-story building. For hours, Twitter users followed the daredevil free-climbing raccoon. And that drama started after maintenance workers removed the creature from the roof of a St. Paul office block. And it was very strange. Somebody had a picture of the raccoon out his window. This guy, Ben, hi Ben Johnson, who wrote, my picture from the 13th floor around noon, hope he makes it down okay. And then somebody else said, I'll donate $1,000 to the non-political charity of choice to anyone who saves this raccoon. I can't handle it. Poor dude. The Mayor Melvin Carter said, even wild animals know City of St. Paul is a great place to reach for higher heights. We're working with staff and building owner to find a way to help the raccoon without endangering it or the staff by scaring it or making it feel threatened. No balconies, window that opens, nothing. Everybody was anxious watching the raccoon continue to climb. At the 23rd floor, it stopped for a nap, which meant there would be more photos. Somebody snapped a picture saying he seems to be doing well. We're told that the building has live traps on the roof. We're trying to get him to go up there. We all have to keep our fingers crossed. By the way, the raccoon was caught and was picked up by the city's Department of Safety and Inspections. According to UBS Financial Services, that was their building. So the raccoon that scaled this high-rise that I just described to you for 3 minutes of America Tonight was caught on top, put in a cage, offered soft cat food, then taken a private land in the southwest suburbs of the Twin Cities and released back in the wild. Isn't that funny? Sometimes it takes a raccoon to captivate us all and make us forget whatever it is that ails us. Beauty of the internet occasionally, right? Stay with us. It's about the numbers next. Weekend Count on America Tonight.
With water, sun, and flow, picking up
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Do you have any of these symptoms? Night cramps in the hands and feet. Your arms and legs often go to sleep. On short walks, do your legs get aches and pains? Is your memory worse than it used to be? Ankles that swell late in the day? Has your blood pressure increased lately? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have early warning signs of arterial blockages. Your body is saying that it is time to take Extendivite. These are not the normal signs of aging. They are the warning signs that accompany blocked arteries. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Welcome to another edition of We Can Count here on America Tonight. How are you doing out there? Hopefully, pretty good. We jump to this story, and it is littered, she says, with numbers. So check it out. This is a bad one. We're talking about fires. I feel for my firemen friends. Firefighters in Colorado have days of tough going against a fire that has ripped up 26,000 acres. They call it 416 fire. It's in the southwestern part of the state. It's reached the backyards of some homes, but so far no one's been injured, thank goodness. No structures have been lost. It just looks really freaking scary. The folks on the ground have not caught a break since it flamed up June 1st. It's tough, it's challenging, and this is a familiar scene to a lot of people in that mountainous area. It's 15% contained, they say. 416 is the largest of 6 fires burning in Colorado. Some of the more than 1,000 people fighting the fire, which is just north of a cool place that I like to hang, Durango, has been there for weeks. Firefighters are focusing on areas where there are people and property. They say some days there's progress, but fire growth in other areas outpaces where the containment is really working. And why? 94 degrees. Humidity levels below 20%. This is never good. And when you really see it on a map, oh, it is really horrifying to see. I feel, and I really mean this, for the people who are fighting the fire. I've been there, I've seen it, not fighting the fire, but been there as a reporter, and I have real empathy for the people in the way of the fire and those that are trying to shut it down. Speaking of empathy, Armando Colunga, was watching the news in San Antonio. I was just reading this story this morning when he saw this report that came across his screen and thwacked him in the chest, that feeling that's tight that you got to do something. 54 undocumented immigrants were in the back of an 18-wheeler. The men were being detained sitting in a group on the ground while they waited for somebody to come interview them and transport them somewhere. He said he wanted to act, so the tow truck driver hopped in his car, drove across town to help. When he got to the scene, he saw Little Caesar's Pizza. He bought pizzas, 7 of them. He didn't think he was going to be able to give them to the immigrants, but 2 detectives escorted him past the tape, and then they handed the pizzas off. That's nice. He sympathizes. He saw it was really kind of a creepy scene. So good for him. Let's move on to something else. And this is what the story is. The story is about the World Cup, U.S., Mexico, and Canada. 2026 is a very big number. That's when the World Cup will be in North America. Since March, the president has sent U.S. soccer officials 3 letters addressed to FIFA, assuring that World Cup organizations and its fans won't face restrictions coming to America for the World Cup if their country qualified. It worked. That's nice. So, why do I say it's nice? It's big revenues. Hasn't been in the United States since the 90s. And it's a great big world stage. A great big world stage. So the bid's accepted, it's in, and it's a definite thing that's happening. It's definite. How about this initiative to break California into 3 states? Do you know it's going to be on the ballot in November? Would you vote for that? Let's divide California. Call it, what, California 1, 2, 3? Californians really are going to vote whether to separate into these states. And here's, in all seriousness, what they would call themselves. California, Northern California, and Southern California would have to be approved by Congress. This was an idea of a venture capitalist, Tim Draper. He called it Cal-3. Got over 400,000 valid signatures. That's what you have to have, according to the law. So it's going to be qualified for the November 6th ballot on June 28th. Draper says if you did split up California into 3 states, it would allow regional communities to make better and more sensible decisions for their people to address the pressing issues, school systems, high taxes, horrible infrastructure, strained government. I wonder if this will pass. Part of me thinks that could happen. I don't know. California gets 55 electors in the Electoral College. That's a big number. That makes a pretty big block. So there'd be incentive, certainly for the Democrats, to not want to see that broken up. But what are the people going to say? What are the people going to say? Yay or nay? Part of me thinks they might say yay to it. Might say yay. How about this? There is a guy, I am not kidding you about this. This is numbers, so it's definitely worth mentioning here. There's a man on a mission to mow lawns in all 50 states. Why? Why does he want to do this, you say? He's generous. He's crazy. He wants to make it in the Guinness Book of World Records. He wants to do it because he's charitable. He said he's finding that there are people that are on fixed incomes and they can't afford to pay someone to mow their lawn. So I'm going to go cut it for free. They can use the money instead for medication, food, and other things. This is a guy who cuts the lawns of the elderly, disabled, single mothers, veterans, etc. He lives in Huntsville. We're on in Huntsville. Hello to everybody there. He founded the Raising Men Lawn Care Service to try to give back to the community. People reach out to him all the time and talk about their grandmothers who need help, etc. And I love, love, love what this Rodney Smith does because he mows the lawns before and after. Sometimes just he shows the after pictures. But he puts, I had the pleasure of mowing so-and-so's lawn. And then he talks about having a conversation with him. I just think it's brilliant. Mowing the lawns. And he wants to do it in the rest of the places where he hasn't been. He wants to mow lawns in all 50 states. I love the sentiment. It means something to people. It makes them feel good when there's not a lot for them to necessarily celebrate or feel good about in some cases. That's just a good heart. That guy has a good, good heart. This story's a bummer. Sylvester Stallone, subject of sex crimes in an investigation. The L.A. District Attorney's Office is actually reviewing a sex crime against the superstar. The Santa Monica Police Department turned over the case, which was first reported in November of 2017. Now check this out. The alleged incident at the center of the case took place in the 90s. A lieutenant on the Santa Monica Police Force said, "We didn't say anything about the nature of the allegation against Stallone." Stallone's attorney said, "My client categorically denies the allegations. It's outrageous that the DA's office and PD would announce this information because it makes the public think that there's something there." His lawyer says the woman who made the complaint had a consensual relationship with his client in the 80s. He said it's not appropriate to try and ruin someone by doing this. In 2016, California ended the statute of limitations on some sex crimes, including rape, molestation, etc., but revised the law applying only to crimes committed after January 1st, 2017. Think of Stallone and his history in Hollywood since he won an Academy Award for Rocky in 1976. So what does it all mean? We don't know at this point. We know the lawyer saying this is ridiculous. It makes no sense because he wasn't involved in anything that should put the spotlight on him in this particular way. And then finally this, a guilty plea was entered in the hazing death of a Penn State university fraternity pledge. Ryan Burke, 21, pled guilty in Center County Court to 4 counts of hazing, 5 counts related to lawful acts involving liquor. Burke admitted to being present for and actively encouraging a series of drinking games with Timothy Piazza and other fraternity pledges. After the games, Burke walked around with a bottle of vodka, made underage fraternity pledges, including Piazza, drink it. And that's what led to this terrible tragedy, his death after high quantities of alcohol. Thanks to pledge.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The GOP-led House this week will hold votes on competing immigration proposals, that amid rising tension and anger over the handling of immigrants at the southern border and the separation of parents and children. The federal detention facility in rural El Paso is a tent city being used to house unaccompanied minors.
This facility is that you would see if you went to any kind of natural disaster site.
Republican Congressman Will Hurd has been inside the encampment, currently housing teenage boys.
There are 20 kids per tent. There's two adults in the room.
Congressman Hurd's district stretches across the Texas-Mexico border.
My constituents that are outraged, they should know that I'm outraged too. What's happening in Tornillo is a symptom of a larger problem.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. That's 800-455-7967.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
He's in our virtual green room right now, Ryan Jeneman. That's kind of a play on words. You'll find out why. He's the co-founder of the THC Design, and we're talking about the cannabis business. Ryan, thanks so much for popping on.
Thank you. I enjoy having it.
So let's just jump right into this. This is a really, really interesting time to be in this business and an interesting business. Tell us about it.
This industry has obviously become very, very popular in a short amount of time. Yeah. I'm growing incredibly fast. But one thing that has already started to happen out in California before legalization has even gone into effect is supply has already started to outfeed demand. So this industry, although there is a lot of growth potential, it is not quite as easy an industry to get into as people think. Branding, advertising, your image has already, again, before legalization, started to trump all and become a very important aspect of the industry.
Wow. So in talking about that, I mean, how big truly is the cannabis industry? I think it's infinity. I think we're just at the not even at the tipping point of this. Am I right?
Based off, you know, what the estimated projections you see coming out of groups such as ArcLight with their ArcView, with their, projections of what they anticipate sales to be in California, across the country, shows that there's going to be tremendous growth. They're anticipating this to be a larger market than the NFL within just 5 years.
Wow.
Not sure exactly how accurate all that is, but this is definitely a a very, very large market. Just in the most simplistic explanation, I mean, I look at the percentage of people that I know that use cannabis from all walks of life and all demographics, and you just, you know, you do the simple math on that, and you see how much of the population is consuming this product. So
we're in this really interesting place where, and I'm sure you know the statistics right off the top of your head, some states have not legalized cannabis at all, some have legalized it only for medicinal purposes, and some have legalized it for recreational use. Can you just really quickly kind of walk us through the numbers on those three statistics so we have a sense for perspective?
Currently, and their states are changing so fast, I do not want to make a mistake, but currently 37 states have a form of medical cannabis laws.
Okay.
So, and in those 37 states, that's a little over three-fourths of the population that currently have some form of medical cannabis laws. Now, there are five states in the union that have recreation, plus the District of Columbia. And those five states, you know, represent almost one-third of the country's population, primarily because of the size of California. So that is, you know, where we are. So overwhelming percentage of country has access to medical marijuana. Overwhelming percentage of the country, as you're aware, supports medical marijuana. Any more in-depth that you want to go into any one of those aspects?
We probably could have a very long conversation about it. We're talking with Ryan Gentleman. He's the co-founder of THC Design. It is a company that is a cultivator of cannabis for legal use, medicinal and recreational, I'm assuming. I guess the thing that's worthy of talking about here is that this is a real business for you. This is a real industry. And I think people still have a stereotype in mind of what this is all about. But when I went to your website, for instance, at thcdesign.com, I see references to things like quality standards, small carbon footprint, advancement in science, community, advocacy. Can you tell us why your company and this industry at large is good for us as a population and us as a nation?
Most definitely. First of all, industry at large, obviously, I'm a huge cannabis supporter, huge cannabis advocate to be in the position I currently am. But industry at large, I worked in the sporting goods industry. I worked in the investment brokerage industry. Before I sort of had my late 20s crisis, moved to California and got into the cannabis industry. But what I'm getting at is overall, the cannabis industry is, without stereotyping, typing people, which I'm about to do, the cannabis industry, for the most part, is a lot of people that are environmentally conscious, truly like here to make the world a better place. Granted, you know, everyone has different views of what they're wanting to do, but overall, the cannabis industry is not someone that is trying to get employees at bottom dollar and then chisel down the state to even lower minimum wage. The cannabis industry in California, on average, is 80% above minimum wage. Cannabis industry consistently, because they have, you know, had to sort of be in the shadows for so long. They operate their locations very cleanly, very safely. They've had to be their own security guards. So there's been multiple studies as of recent, one large one that just came out in the past couple weeks, showing that unlike what, you know, law enforcement had publicly been saying, that when cannabis locations opened up, crime rates went down. And when those locations, when those cannabis locations closed, wow, crime rates went back up. So multiple aspects there why the cannabis industry is not only good for the constituents, but you know, but safe. And then in regards to THC Design, really here, you know, I'm really excited about what our company's doing, and because we're growing plants and creating life, which is incredibly rewarding, also definitely feel like we need to be giving back to the community. So there's some, you know, major issues in LA, such as the homeless epidemic, which coming from the Midwest, where I'm from Oklahoma, I've seen homeless. I've never seen it like the levels we have in Los Angeles. I did not think that was even possible in America, in my blissful ignorance. Furthermore, obviously, oceans, environment, like I said, considering we use water, we use utilities, I feel like us starting to take care of that or giving back is very, very important. And then you mentioned, you know, quality and cutting edge technology. Yes, we employ, scientists within the company, biochemists. We have consultants consistently come in across the world, all to further advance our technology practices, because you know, what we are doing, I truly believe, is a medicine and has medical value. And as this industry progresses, this medicine is going to become more and more mainstream than it currently is. And I want to make sure that our company is up to the standards of the highest quality medicine that, you know, someone would expect coming out of a medical facility. So that's why we continue to push the bounds.
Wow, well said, especially talking about the homeless situation. I understand. I've seen it in Los Angeles. It's outrageous. I think people don't realize that. I agree with you. What about the taxes? People always talk about the taxes and the tax revenues. There was just a big thing that came out about what's happened in Colorado and how most of that money is funneled into the school. So it kind of goes along with what you're saying about homeless and being able to give back. But how are the tax revenues and how big are the taxes on it? Do you think the taxes are fair?
Well, I don't. I chuckle because no business, and I'm not to sound rude. No business. I'm never going to say that the taxes are fair. I'm always going to think they need to be less. And right now, one of the issues that has really happened in cannabis is because everyone's so desperate to get these laws moving forward and to get things on the plate. Because most of I'm not sure if you're aware, even Los Angeles to this day has never issued a single permit for cannabis activity in the last 20 years. So they're very behind and trying to get things moving forward is very much an issue. So as we are working on the taxes, everyone brings that up, from myself to my lobbyists to the political organizations I'm involved with. They bring up taxes because it's a way to get the politicians to be on your side when you say you can bring in money to their constituents or to their district. But at the same time, cannabis is being taxed at every single level, at the production level, at the retail level. It's taxed when it goes in between two producers. If it goes from someone who cultivated the product to someone who manufactured the product, it gets taxed. Then when it goes from the manufacturer to the retail, it gets taxed again. And then when it goes to the retail, to the consumer, it gets taxed again.
So I'm going to cut you off for a sec, Ryan. Most of us won't know the answer to this question. I don't know the answer to this question. Is that different than how, for instance, alcohol or soft drinks are taxed?
It is different than alcohol is not taxed at every level. It is taxed from production to distribution to retail. So there is one more level that alcohol, or one more level that cannabis is taxed compared to alcohol. And I cannot answer the soft drink question, sir. I'm not confident on that.
All right, last question. We have like 30 seconds left. I want to get this in here. What keeps you up at night after everything we just talked about?
What keeps me up at night? Still, this ever-changing industry. What we're marketing is a nightclub. This is something where they're always looking for something hot and new. They always want something new and different. So again, it is marketing a nightclub. So what keeps me up at night is I'm not just a farmer. I have to constantly be marketing an image or a nightclub and staying up with what the market, says is cool or keeping up with the general populace.
All right, Ryan Gentleman, thanks so much, co-founder of THC Design. You can check it out at thcdesign.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
like alkaline water or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor, Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. Lumines takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily and on average see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Teenager, not even a teenager, really, you're a pre-teenager, and we see this now when we talk about bullying, and you're just getting, you know, bashed, dealing with what life throws at you in that direction. You're a Southern girl, you're dealing with rape, you've been raped, you're dealing with abortions, you have a rebellious side to you, of course you do, and what happens to your life? How does that spiral? What direction do you go into? And naturally, you know what, you move to New York City. Imagine that. You move to New York City. You find yourself homeless. You're addicted to heroin. You're prostituting yourself out because you don't know what else to do. The circumstances are so bleak. Then some people step in and really help you and turn your life around. And it includes two New York City police officers. So our next guest is Dana Brown. Her book is called Desperate for a Fix. If you only knew how one good decision could change your life. Hey, Dana, thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate. I'm excited about talking with you today.
So let's talk about where you grew up and what happened as a child that ultimately led you to New York City.
Well, I grew up in North Carolina, a small town. Back in the 80s, it was a small town, Wilmington, North Carolina. And as a lot of children are dealing with today, bullying was rampant. Now, it was not nearly as bad as it is today, but I was bullied for various reasons, and so my self-esteem kind of got knocked around pretty much every day. So as a result of that, I would navigate myself and draw myself closer to people who were like me, who just wanted to fit in. And so so that turned out to be people who wanted to numb their feelings. And so over-the-counter speed and alcohol we would steal from our homes became a daily thing at school, in middle school. And so that was kind of how I found out that I could get rid of these negative feelings by using alcohol or some form of drug to just kind of help me feel better, make it through the day. And as a result of the low self-esteem, I put myself in positions that weren't the healthiest, which wound up in being raped. And so that further kind of dogged my self-esteem. So along the way, I think that that was the main issue, was my self-esteem was low. It was tanked. And so it resulted in making a whole lot of bad decisions.
Wow. So you make these bad decisions. You end up in, of all places, New York City, especially when you're talking about the 80s and early 90s, what life was like there. And what happened when you make that transition from this small town into this big city?
Well, one of the ways I like to put it is I moved to New York City. New York City chewed me up and spit me out. So it's not a funny situation, but I have to have humor about it. I can't look back and be, I had this whole sad picture. I know the outcome. The outcome's great. Here I am. I'm living a brand new life. But back then, it was tough. Yeah, I moved to New York and, only found harder drugs after a few years, started in the partying scene and found harder drugs. And I feel like even today, it's even worse for the kids that are growing up, and so much more readily available to get heroin and cocaine and really whatever you want. So it became like a warm blanket. Heroin was like a warm blanket. It protected me. It kept me safe. It kept me from caring how other people viewed me, how I viewed myself. So yeah, it was a really quick downward spiral.
So talk about who helped you out. I mentioned the police officers, and of course then family comes through. Tell me how you got out of this spiral.
Well, thankfully, I had a family that was just relentless. My parents would drive up to New York and kind of sit out on the sidewalks where they knew the area that I was in. Now, this was after I had become homeless and was really fully into my addiction. And they would wait, just sit on the sidewalk, ask people, have you seen Dana, and show them pictures. And they were relentless, and they contacted the precinct where my haunt was, where I would roam around, and thank God they were connected with Bill Burns and Bill Foley, who just had a heart for them and then had a heart for me, and they made it their mission to get me back home where I was supposed to be.
I love that. So are you still in touch with the two police officers?
I am. My Bill Burns is Uncle Billy to my kids. We adopted three children.
I know.
We adopted three kids. My husband and I. This is years later, of course. And yeah. So Bill Burns is Uncle Billy, and I just spoke with Bill Foley 3 weeks ago for the first time since 1998. So I was a blubbering mess talking to him. Just so grateful for his outreach to me. And now he's Uncle Billy too. So my kids have two new Uncle Billies. I haven't met Bill Foley yet, but his daughter lives about 30 minutes from us, so a reunion is coming soon.
I love it. What do you think people can learn from your experience, people that are listening to you and I speak right now?
I think that the one thing I would love for people to learn, and I hope that it comes across in the book, is that when you see a person who's addicted, sometimes our initial reaction is, you know, get over it, move on, get yourself together, make a decision. But, you know, it's not that hard. It wasn't that hard. I mean, it wasn't that easy to be able to become an addict. You don't just wake up and say, you know what, I think I'll be a junkie today. It's a long process to get to that point, and everyone's process could be different. It could be just like mine, but there is a process. There's a journey, and there's pain, and there's circumstances. And I think that once we realize that that's the case, people become more endearing to us, and then we become more compassionate towards them. So that's the lesson I think I would love for people to learn, and also that people can come out of it. It takes time, it takes work, it takes help, but there is hope. And don't give up on your loved ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about in the book, well, one of the tagline is, if you only knew how one good decision, what was your good decision?
Oh, my good decision was to follow my parents' advice. I can't give away the whole story.
There you go, but you can tease us with it. There you go. So, your parents had some advice for you that turned things around.
Yeah, they did. And they also had a soft place for me to land. As long as I was doing right, they were going to help me. And that was imperative. If I was doing wrong, they weren't helping me anymore. And as soon as I made decisions to do right, they were there for me. And you know, some people on the streets don't have family. But there is someone who can be a soft place for you to land. I'm actually become very good friends with a young girl who's just now coming out of the same situation that I was in. And a family friend became her soft place to land. And so with them, and hopefully with my help with her, she'll be able to get on this same path, and her life can get turned around too.
Yeah, tell everyone, Dana, what you do now.
Well, now I am a stay-at-home mom of three adopted children, which
wow.
You'll read about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married. I am an author. And I speak at, well, really anywhere anybody wants me to go. I'll go and I'll talk to people all day long. I want to help others who find themselves in the hopeless situation that I was in. I want to help them see that there is hope. So I speak, and I also have a you would call it a mission. I want to get my book into rehabs and prisons. Junkies on the streets, they don't buy books. But the book is to help them. So the way that I see best to get it to them is to have it available for them to read in rehabs and prisons. So on my website at desperateforafix.com, there's a tab that says donate, and you can donate a book, which I will ship or deliver to a prison or rehab program in your area. You can choose the program you want it to go to, and I'll ship it there. But you can get that book for $10. You can buy your own book for $15.
All right, I love it. So, Desperate for a Fix, if you only knew how one good decision could change your life, and you can get that by going to Amazon, obviously, and, as you mentioned, going to your website, too.
Right.
And was it hard to pull the book together?
Well, it took quite a few years, about 12 to be exact.
Wow, but you got it out. You did it. You got it out of your head, and you got it out there, right?
I got it out. Yeah, I thought it was finished in 2010, but little did I know there were several chapters that weren't there yet, and those chapters are named Alyssa, Lance, and Jaden, my three children.
I love it. Awesome. Dana Brown, thanks. It's been a delight talking to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.